just good news. Amen. Well, we're going to be talking about various kinds of prayer. We're going to start with Ephesians 6:18, and this is in the Amplified. And the word tells us, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, and with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To the end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. And then going right on to Philippians 4:6, he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And Mark 4:19 tells us, the cares of this world choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Distraction of the world, anxiety, unforgiveness, spirit of fear, a spirit of condemnation, talking bad and condemning other people, all of these negative things can block our prayer life. When we give Satan room in these areas, it's like we can't have a free flow in prayer. So the first thing in prayer is to search our hearts and ask God to clear our hearts. And that can be an everyday thing, really should be. We live in a dirty world and we get contaminated with the attitudes and the things that are in the world. And so we do need the cleansing to start off in prayer. And the first form of prayer that I'm going to talk about is the prayer of consecration, making Jesus the Lord of your lives. Luke 22:42, Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. And James 4:7 told us to submit yourselves to God. And so if Jesus had to say to his Father, not my will, but thine be done, that's something that we continually need to do, that it's all about him, not our will. And then we're going to read Romans 12:1. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Like Jesus, we need to live in total dependence on and in obedience to the Father. The kingdom of God is the sphere of government where King Jesus reigns. Does he reign in my life? Is he reigning? Is he the one that's in charge? You know, it's like when we get up in the morning, we should say, God, this isn't about me. It's about you. You know, sometimes we get, all of our world is all about me. But we need to get up and say, God, it's all about you today. What do you want to do for your kingdom through me? Help me to be in the right attitude, in the right place, and listening to your voice, that your will be done. And then the next prayer we're going to talk about, number two, is private prayer. Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. We always need to have our own time with God and really get to know him as our Father and our friend. If we take time to do this, then we'll find that he's there eagerly waiting for us. This is the foundation of kingdom life and kingdom power, is having a personal relationship with the Lord. The power of everything else we do will be decided by the private relationship we have alone with God every day. Our security should be in the love, reverence relationship we have with our Father, not in any position we may hold or any work we do for him. Our security is in our love, reverence relationship with our Father. Sometimes our mind gets to thinking about what we do for him, but it's him. It's a love relationship with him. Every one of the great men and women of God, that have done awesome things in the kingdom of God have had a powerful personal prayer life. They've spent time alone with their Father. Some questions. Do you have a set time every day that you get along with God and talk to God? And then another thing, do you continually talk to God all day, just like he's your friend there with you? You know, are you communicating with him? And I know we do both. Sometimes we have our time when we sit down and we just shut everything out and think about the Lord. But then as we're driving to work, as we're doing this and washing dishes and doing all the things that we do, we continue to have a dialogue with the Lord. It's just, he's our friend. He's right there. And next I want to talk about corporate or united prayer. In Acts 2:1, it said they were all in one accord, in one place. In 2 Chronicles 5:13 and 14, it was when they praised the Lord with one sound, his glory filled the house. There is always great anointing where people pray together in unity. Acts 4:29 through 31. I'm going to read this. And this is a prayer from God's people that were gathered together. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So here they were together at the same time. They were in agreement. They had prayed with boldness, and the result was miracles. The place was shaken. They got filled with the Spirit. They spoke the word with boldness. And so that was a power of them praying together. And so our prayer should be, grant me boldness, Lord, to speak your word and stretch out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Then we're going to go on to the prayer of agreement. We're reading in Matthew 18:18-19. And it says, truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall occur, having been bound in heaven. And whatever you shall loose on earth shall occur, having been loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as regarding anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. We are to bind evil and loose good. Bind curses and loose blessings. Notice something about the two. If two of you agree. The word agree here is translated from the Greek word symphoneo, which means symphony. It's where we get our word symphony, but it literally means to make exactly the same sound together. It's like two violins in the same orchestra, perfectly tuned to play exactly the same sound. Now, when they first joined the orchestra, all of these people, did they immediately blend? They had to put a lot of effort into it. They had to practice and practice and practice and practice to blend together. Hallelujah. To have that place of victory. Being in agreement not only forms a powerful defense, but it becomes a mighty weapon in the kingdom. There's tremendous power in unity and great weakness in disunity. I think it's so important for families, for couples, for families, for churches, for leadership, to spend time praying together and in the presence of God together. Because when we are in the anointing and in prayer, in harmony, and we get in the Spirit, we all get on one page. We get the same heart. And when we have the same heart, things are going to happen and things are going to move. And so it's important to take the time to learn how to be in a symphony. I've noticed that in our morning prayers. There's been times when it was just like a symphony. It would just flow from one to another, and we would just flow back and forth, and it was so beautiful. But when there's somebody out of tune, it just kind of, it's just like chalk on a blackboard. You're just, this just isn't flowing right. But the more that you're seeking God with one heart and one mind, the more you're able to come into that place of symphony where you flow together with one sound before the Lord. It's very important. Hallelujah. We need to pray and work at, as a church family, having one sound before the Lord, because there's power in that. Now we're going to talk about the prayer of faith. And in these next different subjects of prayer that I'm going to talk about, I think that some of you may have, something came up. This happened to me. Testimonies make the world, the word alive. So if when you're, we're reading these different next things about prayer, if you have a testimony, raise your hand and we'd love to hear it. Matthew 18, 18 through 19 says, we just prayed, did this for the prayer of agreement. We're going to do the same scripture for the prayer of faith. Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall occur, having been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall occur, having been loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as regarding anything they shall ask, it'll be done for them. In the Greek, there's an unusual verb construction here. It has a past perfect tense verb connected to a future tense verb. And this combination is found in several places where Jesus is talking about faith. To come to real faith, we have to know that the object of our faith has already become a fact in the spiritual realm. We have to know what I'm praying for. It's become a fact, a reality in the spirit realm. And we must know that it's already a done deal, even though nothing can be seen or experienced with our natural senses. It must be perceived as a completed fact in the spirit realm before there'll be a visible manifestation in the physical time-space world. Then at the right time, it will manifest physically. So it's a present and past connected to a future is faith. We believe it a reality in the spirit realm, and when we believe it, it will in its time manifest where we can see it on this earth realm. James 5:15 says, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And Mark 11:23-24, we're going to read it. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever says or speaks to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says. And this word says is lego, which means building blocks. In other words, it says those things he continually says are building blocks, will be done. He will have whatever he says or speaks. And so with our words, we build a frame of what our world is going to look like. With our words of faith. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. The prayer of faith will move mountains. Romans 10:9 in the Message says, it's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. Does anybody have a testimony where you know faith brought an answer? That you believed, you had faith, and an answer came. Hallelujah. Years ago, we were praying and believing God. In Cumpas, we prayed with Pastor Jesus and some of the others. We wanted a block machine because a whole lot of the churches were in construction and it would save a lot of money to have a block machine. And some of the people were, you know, they were on the market at that time and well-known. And anyway, we just one day down there, it was like none of us had any money. We had no money to buy a block machine, but we prayed together, and it was a prayer of faith. We began to thank God for that block machine that we needed. Well, we came home from Cumpas. We had a call from some pastors in Texas, and they said, we bought a block machine, and we thought we were going to be able to get it in, and it's not working out. We would like to have you guys to have it if you want it. We went and picked it up, and it's been making blocks in Mexico ever since. But we prayed a prayer of faith, and the answer was just right there. It came. Hallelujah. The next prayer I'm going to talk about is intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is letting the Holy Spirit pray the will of God through us. Romans 8:26-27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now him who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Our calling and function is not to replace God, but to release him. Intercessory prayer is an extension of the ministry of Jesus through his body, the church, whereby we stand in the gap between God and humanity for the purpose of reconciling the world to him, or between Satan and humanity for the purpose of enforcing the victory of Calvary. So we intercede as part of the body of Christ. These vital ingredients of intercessory prayer are love, compassion, and boldness. Almost always when we get ready to pray in our morning prayer meetings, you know, we invite the Holy Spirit, we ask for him to pray through us the will of the Father. And we say, Lord, we don't know what needs out there, but you know who needs prayer today. I mean, sometimes we have prayer list, but always we say, Lord, there's people that's needing prayer today that we don't know about here, but you know it. And through the prayer time, just things will come to us. People will come to us, and we'll just begin to pray. And sometimes they're church people. Sometimes they're people in the community, and just like the strangest people. I never think about them, and they come up in my heart. Pray for that person. And so that's hearing the Holy Spirit for what needs prayer, and then obeying and standing in the gap for that person you're praying for. Amen. Here's a prayer of intercession. Father, we pray for the salvation of souls in Douglas. We bind the spirit of confusion on the minds of the people that keep them from being aware of their need for God. That's standing in the gap for people that need salvation and binding the force of the devil that's holding them back from receiving Jesus. And that can come in many forms, but we need to be led of the Spirit. And then there's the prayer of petition or supplication. Philippians 4:6, this is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And this used to kind of tickle me, and I was like, well, this must be for the men, not the women. I mean, have you ever met a woman that's not anxious about everything? You know, it's a real temptation of us to get emotional about things, but we're commanded not to. And the Word also tells us in James 4:2 that we have not because we ask not. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus told us to ask for our daily bread. Ask for our needs. Ask for what we need. So it's completely scriptural to take a petition to the Lord about what we need. And next we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." When we go into any kind of battle, it's important to go in with a clean heart or get a clean heart. Because Ephesians 2:27 in Amplified says, "Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him." And when we have sin in our life, and that includes sins of the heart, fear, anxiety, you know, all of the things that we can so easily have, anger, just frustration, those things kind of leave a foothold for the devil to come and attack us. And when we are going into spiritual warfare, we need things clean so that he doesn't have any way to come in. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not from our flesh, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So we have weapons that are mighty that will pull down strongholds. And our weapons are the Word of God and the Spirit. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." And Ephesians 6 tells us the sword of the Spirit is our advancement tool. And so the Word and the Spirit are our weapons that are mighty. As we involve ourselves in spiritual warfare, it's important that we remember that we're not trying to defeat the devil. He has already been defeated. What we do is represent the victory of the cross. Our warfare is an extension of what Christ already did. What he did, we must enforce. We are his body in this earth. We are his hands and feet and his mouth in this earth. And we have to enforce what he set in place and what he already did. We need to decree God's word over everything we need, actually. But I'm thinking of our children right now. Decrees will separate, divide, and set them apart for the kingdom of heaven. Our children. Decrees cut off and destroy anything purposed against them and God's blessing for them. Decrees will propel them into their destiny. And I'm going to read Isaiah 44, 3 and 4, but I'm going to make it personal like a decree. And it says, God speaking, "For I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields." Yes. Yes, amen. "And I will pour out my spirit God will pour out his spirit on my descendants and his blessing on my children. They will thrive like watered grass, like the willows on a riverbank. You know, when we drive from here to Sierra Vista, going through the San Pedro River and all the beautiful trees is such a witness of what trees will do when they have water. Hallelujah. And he said, our children will be like willows on a riverbank. They'll flourish. They'll do well. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to talk about watchman's prayer. In 2 Samuel 18, 25 through 27, tells us the purpose of watchmen on the wall of the city was to watch for approaching situations, whether it was good or bad. Is the enemy coming or is there good news coming, something good coming? But the watchmen watched. They paid attention. They watched for what was coming. Watchmen not only watch for the enemy, but also watch for the blessings that's on the way. A good soldier is very attentive to his surroundings. A watchman only watches, he listens, and he's alert. Hallelujah. And we need to be alert all the time. Is the enemy planning something that I can stop before it comes? You know, we need to watch far out. What's coming? What's coming toward me? What blessings do I need to prepare the way for to receive and look for? Because there's not only do the enemy comes, but blessings come our way. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. 1 Peter 5:8 in the New Living Translation says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so watchmen need to be alert. We need to be aware. We need to be in tune with the Lord and listen to him. Hallelujah. Because the enemy can have things planned for our city and we can stop it before it gets here if we pray about it and put a stop to it. You know, I think it's important for us to pray in our city against the violence that's just breaking out all over the place. You know, it's just everywhere. This is our assignment. This is our assignment that God's given us, to cover this place with prayer, to cover Douglas with prayer. And Satan has no business here. And we can stop his attacks before they happen if we're watchmen on the wall. Hallelujah. Isaiah 62:6-7. Says, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. And I'm going to read it different. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Faith Ministries Church. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest till he establishes and till he makes Douglas praise in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to be alert and watch. You know, it's sometimes life gets busy and big and we just kind of tune out. It's so easy to just kind of try to hide and tune out and just go into the blah, blah land. You know, just leave me alone. Let me just step off the earth for a little bit. You know, it's just like, and there's times we need diversion. That's fine. But in the spirit, we need to always be listening and ready to stand up and to take authority over the enemy. Now we're going into travailing prayer that's accompanied with prophetic declarations. Isaiah 66:8 says, for as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Travail is a form of intercession that releases the creative power or energy of the Holy Spirit into a situation to produce, create, or give birth to something. The Holy Spirit wants to release His creative power through us, bringing forth new life. There is a kind of prayer that births, changes situations, sets people free to come to Jesus, and brings forth God's will on the earth. And there have been times that I have had that travailing prayer, and we've seen it answered. You know, when we begin to pray for all of that area south of here, and then we did a 100-mile radius around Cumpas and visited all the pueblos, and we found over 100 little towns, and there was about 3 or 4 very small struggling churches. And the Lord, we begin to pray, and we begin to pray and target different cities in prayer. And then God led on us, our hearts, to begin to take the Christmas programs into these towns, and then to take the VBSs into these towns. And now in that same radius, I think there's maybe one town that doesn't have a salvation preaching church. And many of the towns have multiple churches. The light has come on. Hallelujah, it works. Hallelujah. Okay, Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, the earth was without form and void." The words "without form" are the Hebrew word tohu, which means a desolation, to lie waste, a desert, a worthless thing, confusion, empty, barren, a formless, lifeless mass. Then verse 2 goes on to tell us the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Amplified says the Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And the word "brood" means to give birth to something. A mother hen broods over her little chickens to have them, to bring them forth. The Holy Spirit that brooded or hovered over the earth, releasing His creative energies or power at the words of God, giving birth to what He spoke. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of the Lord was moving on the earth, and then the prophetic word went with it. Then God said, and it happened. All through Genesis 1, God said, and it happened. God said, and it happened. God said, and it happened. But the brooding was there first, that kind of prayer that bursts things, and then the spoken word brought it into being. Hallelujah. The word "brooding, giving life to" that was used when the earth was created is the same words used in Isaiah 66:8 that says, "As soon as Zion travailed, she also brought forth her son." So when Zion, or God's people, goes into that travailing prayer, sons will come forth. And just like Dutch Sheets, he's been praying. He's been hovering and brooding, praying that kind of prayer for 30 years. I have too, over Douglas. I have prayed and prayed and prayed. And you know, our mind just kind of wants to think, well, that's a long time to pray for something. But, you know, it's all in God's timing, and I believe we're closer to it than we've ever been. What the Holy Spirit was doing in Genesis when He brought forth or gave birth to the earth is exactly what He wants to do through our prayers in bringing forth sons and daughters. He wants to go forth and hover around individuals, releasing His awesome power to convict, break bondages, bring revelation, and draw them to Himself in order to cause the new birth or the new creation in them. The Holy Spirit wants to birth through us. Travailing prayer is often followed by prophetic declarations, like in Genesis 1:1, where God said, "Prophecy is God supernaturally speaking through His people." And just like God's words have life, when we prophetically speak his words, they have life. They have life and creative force. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I send it." So in the spoken word of God, in the written word of God, it will come forth what he said. But when he speaks prophetically through us, it will do what it was called to do. It will bring forth life. Hallelujah. So prophecy is really powerful. There's, you know, like in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, desire all the spirit gifts, but especially that you prophesy. Because prophecy is speaking God's word out there that begins to bring things to life and change things. It's powerful. The last kind of prayer we're going to talk about is praise and worship. Praise is the vehicle to take us from the realm of the natural into the realm of the heavenlies. When we worship God, things shift around us, causing everything to come together for good. I feel like when I worship the Lord, it just recalibrates me. You know, sometimes your printers, you have to recalibrate them. Well, when I'm in worshiping the Lord, it's just like things that were just a little bit off just get set straight. And I love the presence. I love to feel the presence of the Lord tonight during worship. It was just like rolling over me, like waves, the presence of the Lord. And it's like, wow, that is so wonderful. Psalms 22:3 tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. So anywhere people are praising him, that's where God is. That's where he reigns. That's where his throne is. Philippians 4:4, and then we'll drop down to 6 and 7 in the Message. And it says, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praise shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Why worry when you can pray? Amen. Worship is powerful for many reasons. And one of them is when we worship him, we become like him. We connect to him. It's like we become a mirror that reflects his glory. You've seen teenagers that get caught up in rock bands and they begin to worship these rock stars, and pretty soon they're looking and acting just like them. You know, so when we turn our affections toward the Lord, you know, we just become more like him. Praise is also a powerful weapon against the enemy. In the Battle of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, they were fighting an impossible situation, and Jehoshaphat put the praisers out in front of the army. We're going to read about that. But they were facing an army that they could no way beat in the natural. It was impossible. They were just in a really bad situation, and God told them to put the praisers in front, and here's what happened. 2 Chronicles 20:21-22, and it says, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.' Now when they begin to sing and to praise the Lord, and sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated." So when we praise God, God sends ambushes against our enemy. That's good news. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to end with Ephesians 6:18 that we started with. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, and with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. So, and Calvin was mentioning this afternoon several other kinds of prayer. There's just a whole lot of kinds of prayer in the Word. But it's just all prayer is a blessing. All prayer is wonderful. And so, does anybody have a quick testimony you'd like to give concerning prayer? Hallelujah. I can think of another one, just testimony I want to give. In Kumpas, it was a number of years ago, and they had a graduation for Bible school students, and there wasn't very many, but they had a service for them on Friday night. And Adelina has fixed a meal just for the students and their parents, and it was she didn't fix very much. There was a small amount of food for a small amount of people. And they didn't expect a big crowd. They thought it would just mainly be the families and these students in this meeting. The place was packed out. They couldn't get all the people in the building. They were outside. They couldn't even get them all in. And Jesus was sitting right in front of us. And Adelina came to him two times and said, "Do not invite anybody to eat. We're only going to have the students and their parents. And we'll invite them personally. Do not invite them." And she came again, said, "Don't invite anybody to eat." And he got up at the end of the service and he said, "Everybody's invited to eat with us." And he asked Juan de la Pata was in this, and he said, "Would you please come up and pray for the food?" Well, Juan, nobody knew but Adelina and Jesus that there wasn't enough food. And so Juan came out, and he just began to pray, and he just says, "And thank you, Lord, that multiplying the food. Thank you for multiplying the food. Thank you that there's going to be more than enough." And we didn't know there were a shortage of food, and where we were sitting, we ended up being some of the first ones in there, which we wouldn't have if we'd have known that there was a shortage. But we went in, and they served us extra big plates of food. There was no way we could eat it at all. And they served everyone there. And when they got through, they had a whole bucket of leftovers for the neighborhood dogs. And they had more food in the pots when they finished than they had when they started. And they sent it home with everybody that had brought food and the ladies of the church. But it was just, you know, Juan, just in the spirit, prayed, "God, multiply this food." And God did. And it was a miracle. And it was kind of strange when we first went down and sat down and started to eat. Calvin took a bite and he put his fork down and he said, "This is miracle food." Yeah, I don't know why, but I just feel like it's miracle food. And it was. And we didn't know it till later, but, you know, God is awesome. And that would probably, Juan didn't even know it, but he prayed from his spirit, and the word that he prayed just created a miracle. Hallelujah. Well, thank you guys for coming, and Lord, we thank you for an awesome time of worship tonight. We thank you for your presence, for your spirit. We thank you that we serve such a personal and awesome and powerful God, and we just bless this people in your name, and we thank you, Lord, that we will have a sensitive heart to you, that we hear your voice day in and day out, and that we just walk with you every moment as your representatives here on the earth, that we represent you to this world that we live in. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the week. The truth about prayer.